The challenge is, how do we manage the growing complexity of having data produced much faster than before, coming in real time from everywhere, not sensors, wearable devices, autonomous cars and helicopters and airplanes.
Alberto Di Meglio is head of CERN Open Lab.
And this is indeed where artificial intelligence, or at least some flavors of artificial intelligence, play today and will play a big role.
Today, teaching machines how to handle our data. This is Beyond Tech, a short-form podcast where you learn something new every episode in around 10 minutes. So Alberto, I thought we could start with this. How would you explain machine learning to a five-year-old?
Machine learning is the study, the investigation, the application of programs that are able to become better as they work. It's a way for a computer to become better at doing something as these tasks are executed. So this is, in a nutshell, the concept of machine learning.
What we've seen happening as well, we produce lots and lots of data, but it doesn't match with each other. Where are we right now? How good are we in making value out of that?
We are today quite advanced. I mean, machine learning is not new. You know, the first ideas of artificial intelligence dates back to the 50s. Recently is really recent. I'm talking about the early 2010s, 2010, 2012. Not only the sophistication of the algorithms, but especially the availability of efficient hardware computing platforms together have made possible to use this kind of techniques in practice. So today, machine learning, which is finding ways of teaching computers to reproduce specific activities that we can do, teaching them to do these activities faster and better. This today is quite possible. There are amazing results. Maybe some of them are quite specific. The computers winning at chess or Go games. This is maybe are not very practical applications, but they demonstrate the power of these technologies. However, it is limited. Again, is really an optimization of tasks that we can do, but maybe are too repetitive for us to be efficient at them or even to be interested at them. But we need to go forward. So the next level is, can machine adapt, not just execute a specific task better, but learn to indeed understand the context of what they do and react to events, do planning, for example. This is something that today it's really research, it's experimental. There are, again, progress is accelerating, innovation is accelerating. You have amazing examples of robots being able to work efficiently in very difficult environments that can be used, for example, for a situation where you have environmental disasters or difficult conditions, but are not production level today. The technology challenges are still quite difficult. But this is the research today. This is the state of the art.
Amazing. There is so much potential with this new technology. What would you say are the pitfalls?
This power comes at a cost. Mm-hmm. And one cost is, in order to do that, you really need to have a lot of data. And especially if you apply this to human situations, social conditions, and also, for example, simulations of health scenarios, pandemic scenarios, but also simulation of economic conditions, how cities compared to agricultural land change in time, and simulate what happens and where to invest, how to support people and activities. You have to use information that contains something of us, something of information about us, and this is a risk. So there must be some sort of trade-off between having these very powerful techniques and still protecting our identity, our rights, our privileges as human beings, and also doing this correctly. So there are a few problems today with artificial intelligence. One is bias. You heard everything of bias problems. You have a very efficient algorithm. You give this algorithm wrong data, biased data. The results is not what you expect. You know, the machine cannot understand that the data is not ethically correct. Okay, so I mean, you have examples. There are famous examples of a company trying to optimize the recruitment process. How do we optimize the recruitment process? Easy. We feed the data into the machine, telling the machine which people are the most effective in the company. It turns out the machine will tell you, you know, in this example, the machine suggested that the best way of optimizing recruitment is to recruit white males, you know, white men. And that, of course, this is appalling. But that is because the data was based on the history of a company that traditionally recruited mainly white men. And therefore, if you look for success stories in the company, you know, statistically speaking, that is what you get. So the data itself contains already the answer. And today, this has to be avoided at all costs.
Is there such a thing as non-biased data?
Exactly. So this is why, I mean, it's an interaction between human and machine. It is naive to think that we can leave decisions just to very efficient machines. And there are, you know, many professional profiles that exist today and are being created new, the data scientist and the domain expert, etc. So you really always have to combine the power of computation with the understanding and of the data, but also what you are trying to achieve. Only this combination can give you some level of confidence that the result is correct.
So I heard you saying that yes, an algorithm or a deep learning algorithm beat Islam, the master in AlphaGo, but there is still no algorithm that can tie its shoes and win in AlphaGo. So that is still human. So I thought that was quite funny. What do you see? What's going to happen in the next couple of years? What is the future going to look like?
Yeah, but this so what you say is really a sort of representation of the distinction between restricted AI and general AI. So restricted AI is really an optimization of a task. And if you get out of that task, the machine is lost because it has not been trained. General AI starts when you combine all the different types of specialization in a way that allows the machine to react to, you know, to unknowns, to unprecedented. So this is something that is not possible today, but we are getting closer. So there are examples of robots with very sophisticated face technology that looks very human. You still see that it's artificial, but looks very human. But where the computer is trained to recognize the emotion of the person talking, which is very, very complicated because emotions for us are a mix of body language, of reactions, of how you talk. So it includes speech recognition, it includes face recognition, a lot of things. But these are very useful. For example, this first example have been used to help with the particular types of patients or help with kids, you know, to calm them or to address difficult situations. So the potential of being useful in very important, social important, economically important situation is there, and I'm sure we will get there probably during our generation. I mean, I don't have to wait until the end of the century to see some of that. If we can create machines that are better than us in doing something, then these machines might themselves create something that it is better than themselves. And we enter into this loop until when a machine that can do everything and anything, you know, singularity is produced.
I read as well the guy, the master in AlphaGo, he quit after he said there is no need to play it if he always knows there is a better algorithm than that. And I mean, that is, I think it's super philosophical and it's super deep. Where should we go and what's the future we want? Thank you for listening to Beyond Tech, a podcast from Digital Switzerland. My name is Matthias, and if you find these episodes interesting, and if you learned something new today, let us know. We'd also like to hear what topics you're curious about and what episodes we should cover in the future. This podcast was produced by Tinka Media. Music came from Blue Dot Session. If you like this podcast, please rate it and share it with your friends. Looking forward to catching up with you in a week.